Veterans Truth Radio is listener supported. Please help us out by visiting us at www.veteranstruthnetwork.com. Every little bit helps. Thank you.
Oh, Don't you cry.
Don't you cry no more.
Join us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time for That's the Way It Is with your host, Tiff Tatum.
Folks, and welcome to this edition of That's the Way It Is. It's 21 April 2015. And I am your host, as always, Chip Tatum. Tonight I want to talk about a little exercise they're calling Jade Helm 15. But first, let me explain exactly what a military exercise is and what they hope to gain by performing these exercises. A military exercise or war game is the employment of military resources in training for military operations, either exploring the effects of warfare or just testing strategies without actual combat. War games are very useful in helping to predict the outcome of certain strategies and a quick look-see as to how the public would react to such strategies or such uses of force. Intel boys call them military simulations. In simulations, they can use theories of warfare, and they can test these theories and refine them without the need of actual hostilities. As the military redefines their role in the world, new training arenas need to be prepared. In the past, at such bases as Fort Bragg, Fort Benning, Fort Campbell, large facilities were built to mimic areas which they planned operations in. Like for instance, the Middle East. They had training areas for the Middle East. We had training areas for Vietnam. We had prisoner of war training for Vietnam years ago. So in essence, as information is pushed down the pipeline to the military prepares the soldiers for the type of environment in which they are planning to be used and planning operations in. So, now that we have the basic definition down, let's go into it. Jade Helm is covering 7 states from California to Texas. It's supposedly running from July 15th to November 15th. It is scheduled to involve Army Special Operations, that's Green Berets, Rangers, 160th Special Operations Aviation, with whom I was a pilot, Air Force Special Operations, Navy Special Operations, which is the SEALs, and Marine Special Ops. It's most interesting to note that one of the areas, one of the cities selected for Jade Helm 15 is Big Springs, Texas. Why is this interesting? Well, Big Springs, the majority of the people in Big Springs work for the Federal Bureau of Prisons or a private federal contract prison facility. This zone in Big Springs, Texas is one of the largest areas for federal prisons in the United States and in the world. Another interesting fact is the U.S. Bureau of Prisons and U.S. Federal Marshals run an airline. That airline we commonly refer to as Con Air. Con Air's hub facility is in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. It's actually at the Oklahoma City Airport. It has Con Air aircraft can drive right up to the prison facility in Oklahoma City where the prisoners are offloaded. They have shackles and chains on their feet, waistband chains and handcuffs, and those who are some of the most dangerous, like myself, would have what would be called black boxes, where it's even more difficult for them to attempt an escape. I have been to Oklahoma City Transfer Facility several times as I was moved around the United States, having been charged with treason and moving daily in what they call diesel therapy. Interesting fact there are a lot of people were in that facility, bound for Big Springs, Texas. The trip to Big Springs is facilitated by the use of a large fleet of buses or aircraft used by the U.S. Marshal and the Federal Bureau of Prisons for transporting throughout the United States. So in case you haven't heard it or haven't watched the video that we have on our site, I'm going to play an audio clip from that video so that you can hear the briefing that Thomas Meade from Fort Bragg, a private contractor with Special Forces Command, Special Operations Command, as he briefs the city of Big Springs for Jade Helm 1-5. It is interesting that he does make a minimal reference to utilizing the airport and being able to talk to people in the airport during the exercise.
I bring you greetings from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, United States Army Special Operations Command. I just want to be able to thank you all for allowing me to speak tonight to the City Council of Big Spring. This is an honor for us to be here to address you and give you some information on the exercise that we'll be conducting this summer in Howard County. My name's Tom Meade. I'm a retired Special Forces Senior Noncommissioned Officer. I spent 20 years in the Army, spent 13 with Special Operations. I'm currently a contractor working for United States Army Special Operations Command as an operations planner and an exercise designer for the Jade Helm project. With me this evening, I have Master Sergeant Tim Robinson. He's an active duty Green Beret with 3rd Special Forces Group out of Fort Bragg. Tim's helping us design this exercise to get it going, make sure it goes in the right direction.
Okay, folks, Meade is a private contractor. You catch that? Private contractor. The military has gone a lot in several areas to private contractors, so keep an ear to this. It's very important.
So my purpose here this evening is we are seeking written invitation and approval from local officials to conduct the realistic military training exercise within the jurisdiction of the city of Big Spring. Through the process, we're required, as I'm here tonight, is to receive to ask for a letter of invitation from local officials inviting us into your community to allow us to train our soldiers for the next fight that we could, that they could encounter. We're not training for Afghanistan and Iraq, the things that we've done in the last 15 years. We're looking forward.
We're looking forward. Where the hell are they looking at? They're looking in the streets of New York, the streets of Dallas, the streets of Houston, the streets of L.A. They're looking for any dissident in the United States. That's the forward-looking plans. Agenda 21, Rex, the works. Let's listen a little more to what our briefer has to say.
And we want to make sure that these guys are trained properly. This is where we need the help of the local communities. We coordinate with all the local, state, and federal law enforcement. We've already been and we've coordinated with the police chief here in Big Spring. We've coordinated with Sheriff Parker already. We have coordinated up at DPS at the state level already. So everybody from a law enforcement aspect understands what the exercise is, and we want to make sure that we are completely plugged in with them to make sure they understand what's going on. The land use agreements that we do with the local public, we don't just come in to somebody's property and we won't trespass on somebody's property without the agreement of that landowner. The licensing agreement truly allows us, or it releases liability from the landowner. And we do a full risk assessment and medical plan. We've already linked.
By the way, those contracts are one-way contracts. All they're doing is releasing liability if anything happens on their land. They're not giving them much opportunity to say no.
In with the hospital, we understand how they get the life flight. We also have medical personnel that will be on site to assist should anything happen. What is Jade Helm? Jade Helm is a challenging 8-week exercise. truly in this area, in the Martin and Howard County area, we're only going to be here for about 5 to 5.5 weeks. The 8 weeks comes in where it's the preparation and the planning that happens back in Florida and in the Mississippi area.
Only 5 weeks we're going to be in the area on military exercise. They're really getting acclimated, aren't they? That's good.
The exercise is a joint military and interagency activity. What this means is we have units from every military service participating in the exercise with us. And we also have some of our interagency partners, such as the FBI, the DEA, and some of the other agencies assisting us and working with us in the exercise. The exercise is going to be...
There you go, folks.
Texas is the main bulk of the activity, I would tell you. And we are spread from east to west, north to south, throughout the state of Texas. It is a Special Operations Command General Votel sponsored exercise to improve Special Operations Forces' ability to conduct unconventional warfare as part of the national security. The exercise will occur from July to September. What we see here in Martin and Howard County is the guys will come in about August 7th or so, and they'll depart somewhere about September 10th or so. Who's participating? As you can see, it's all of our special operators. United States Army Special Forces Command, the Green Berets. Navy SEALs will be conducting operations over in Mississippi and Louisiana. The Air Force Special Operations Command will be flying specialty aircraft for us for infiltration and resupply of the operators on the ground. The Marine Special Operators will be working down in the San Antonio area. The 82nd Airborne Division will jump an entire battalion into Camp Bullis and take down targets inside Camp Bullis on a federal installation. The exercise locations in this area, we're working throughout Martin and Howard County. As some of you know, we briefed the Howard County Commissioner's Court yesterday morning. We received approval to operate within Howard County. Why did we choose Texas? Number one, United States Special Operations Command has been conducting exercises in Texas for a few years. We've done numerous exercises here. A lot of times you don't hear a lot about it unless someone like me comes to brief you about those exercises. And we know that Texans are historically supportive of our efforts to make sure that our soldiers, sailors, and airmen and Marines are ready to fight that next fight and train them for that next fight. Well, some of the things that...
Whoa! What next fight? In Dallas?
We require is areas of undeveloped land with low population densities. United States Army Special Operations Command, being the director of the exercise, desires to have a very rural area for us to be able to operate in. Because the last few years, these guys have, in Afghanistan and Iraq, they receive aerial resupply by helicopter about once a week. They live in buildings. They have connectivity to the internet to be able to talk to their command, but also be able to talk to home. When they come out here to Martin and Howard County, they're not going to have those luxuries. In the scenario that we've built, they're going to have to operate outside of those normal support mechanisms and rely on the folks, the civilians that are in the area to be able to support them. We have a backside support element that actually will replicate that. But we also ask for, we can't do the exercise without the public's help. Things that we look for from that perspective is we look for people that are willing to be a role player, to just be someone who goes and gives a little nugget of information.
Little nugget of information. Hey, we're looking for Fred Peters. He's a domestic terrorist. Do you know where we can find him? Hey, Sally Ivins. She's a domestic terrorist. We're looking for her. I need a little nugget of information. So now they're preparing the people to work for them and prepare that information. It's called human intelligence, folks. Preparing the public.
For them to build an intelligence picture to understand the scenario better and be able to operate better. We look for people that are willing to transport our guys because they have to move around in a clandestine manner. For example, in the back of a horse trailer in the middle of the night.
In Toyota pickup trucks.
So nobody can see them. These are ways that they have to operate in foreign countries and when they're not supposed to be in those countries. We also look for landowners and business owners who would be willing to allow us to, on a landowner perspective, to be able to use their land, maybe live on their land, or to use a barn or an old barn to be able to conduct a meeting in the middle of the night for them to do planning with a higher command.
Interrogations, waterboarding in the barn.
Shop owners to be able to use a back storeroom or a warehouse to do these types of meetings as well.
I like the way they call them meetings, huh? Oh, you poor suckers out there.
Ordinary citizens are the first ones to notice something that's different. And that, you know, it causes them to have to be that much more careful. What can you expect? Now, understand that this slideshow is our standard slideshow that we use to brief the counties and the cities. Within the cities, you won't see most of this, I would tell you. For example, increased aircraft in the area at night. You'll see that out in the rural area. We have a resupply, an aerial drop that will occur, and then some paratroopers as well will jump into Martin County in early August. It won't happen within the city limits. But one of the most important things, and I know I've said it previously, is we
too win, many power lines. It's a little dangerous. So they jump in a lot of night jumps too. Operations primarily at night to pick up the perps while they're sleeping.
The activity that way they're able to answer constituent calls on that. The other thing that we do is we brief that prior to the activity going on. That way, the police chief can let the dispatch know that this is occurring, so that when they field phone calls from concerned citizens, they're able to.
He wanted today to say disgruntled citizens.
But that's not normally anything that's out of the ordinary in West Texas, from what I've seen, especially during hunting season. And they may be driving civilian vehicles throughout the area. So really, within the city limits, if you notice my guys, they're probably really doing something wrong. Clear marking of the participants. That, for us, that's one of the big things. We make sure that all of our guys have some type of marking that they'll all be wearing an armband with a marking that identifies them as part of the exercise. So if I, and what I mean by that is, just as we do with the law enforcement, if there's activity occurring around an area, we will actually go out to doors and knock on doors, introduce ourselves, and let them know that there'll be activity happening between this time and this time.
Armbands on the mission essential personnel. Sounds like something from the mid-40s, doesn't it?
Mr. Meade, how often do you do a operation like this? Is this done annually or?
Yes, sir. So the Jade Helm project is a new project that has come along from General Cleveland, from his staff at United States Army Special Operations Command. This exercise is planned to be conducted yearly. We conduct an exercise that's similar to this, and I say similar because the scope and the breadth of the exercise is nowhere comparable to what we do here. But they conduct that exercise 6 times a year in North Carolina. So, did I answer your question, sir?
Sure.
Yes, sir.
I, I
Sense makes perfect.
Just have a couple of questions. And you've already started talking to the landowners and
yes, sir.
Setting things up. I just have to ask, how does FBI and DEA work with the military on operation like this?
Well, generally speaking, sir, the FBI and DEA provide us liaison officers up at our command level, depending on how the scenario is written. One of the ways the FBI and DEA are working with us here is in Arizona, they will actually do some questioning for us at one of the airports in Arizona.
Questioning people flying through Arizona. I'm not going through Arizona, I'll tell you that now. I'll fly straight south before I'll fly around anywhere in the U.S. this summer. Questioning.
In Arizona, they will actually do some questioning for us at one of the airports in Arizona.
Besides, the FBI has the list.
Any personnel from NATO, UN, or
no, sir,
DHS?
Not,
or?
Currently for Jade Helm, it is U.S. only. We that has been one of the discussions that I'm not sure if it has occurred yet, but we that has been one of the discussions.
The keyword
that,
currently.
I'm not sure if it has occurred yet, but not sure if it has occurred yet, but that I'm not sure if it has occurred yet, but
name, please. About 3 minutes. We got a lot of speakers.
My name's Kimberly York, and I actually am one of the county residents. And I'm a little distressed with the fact, A, the county issued an invitation without letting the citizens know that it's going on in the county. I think that we should have been informed. I feel like it's being hidden from us about, you know, and then all of a sudden an invitation's issued and it's on us. And I'm a little bit concerned about that. I think as citizens we have the right. I also am a hospice nurse. I have a lot of concerns about our elderly population in this county and in this city by things that are going on and being distressed. It may double our phone calls for home health and hospices, because we will be the first persons you call, they call, and get distressed. You know, I mean, what the press is putting out is really different than what we're seeing here today. You know, the press is telling us, oh, you're not going to hear about it, you're not going to see it, you know, it's just not going to affect your lives. Well, what we're reading here is that it might affect our lives. And I think as citizens of this county, we should have a voice in whether that invitation is issued. I've got some, like I said, some real concerns. There's safeties for civilians. Why are we looking at safety issues if there's nothing to see here right now? By the way, I am a military brat. I do support the military. I feel that there's other ways of training than inflicting it on the citizens of this county. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's the briefing by Thomas Mead. What more is there? Well, there are other things happening right now. Let me give you an example. Local residents in local cities around the United States are receiving information from the local law enforcement branches that they will be providing training to their law enforcement in preparation for an upcoming Jade Helm exercise in their zone, as they plan to be supporting Special Operations Command. So now we're hearing a little more. We heard Thomas Mead talk about the military side and who's involved there, and now we're hearing law enforcement talk about the law enforcement side and how they are training and putting themselves in a state of readiness to support Special Operations Command as they come into their zone. Here's an example how local communities are preparing their residents for these activities. Coral Springs, Florida. If you see unusual police activity in Coral Springs over the next 2 weeks, don't be alarmed. Law enforcement agencies are providing support for an urban training exercise which will take place at different locations throughout the county. The purpose of the exercise is to provide U.S. Special Operations Forces with realistic urban sites for preparedness training. This routine training has been conducted by military personnel in cities across the country. This routine training has been conducted by military personnel in cities across the country. So you're already getting a feeling that they've already been doing this very quietly in the past, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. The sites have been carefully selected to minimize the impact on a daily routine of residents and visitors. Each training site will be secure to ensure the safety of the general public and the participants. Training sites will not be disclosed for this reason. If any members of the public learn of the training locations, they ask the public to remain clear of these areas while training is conducted. As I stated earlier, the 160th Aviation Group is going to be utilized in these operations. They are the primary supporting aviation element for Special Operations Command. Back in the 80s, we would routinely fly SEALs, Delta Force, whoever, and we would practice under the cover of night. We were called the Night Stalkers, and they still are called the Night Stalkers, and they're called the Night Stalkers for a reason. We would practice. Hundreds of hours of practice under night vision goggles, knowing that the cover of darkness in any combat situation was the best cover we had as a low-flying, slow-flying helicopter. These aircraft we flew at the time, Loaches, OH-6s, which are now the MDH-6, Blackhawks, Chinooks, attack aircraft, and all these other aircraft that we had could be, except the Chinooks, could be placed in a combat configuration. I would imagine they could fit out a Chinook about like they do the C-130s with heavy artillery inside shooting down into the ground if you need to. That'd be pretty cool. Oh, excuse me, I'm getting off course here. Okay. So we have 160th back in the old days. We would routinely fly into large cities. We would choose specific buildings, and we would perform a, for no other word, an attack to that building, dropping special operations, Delta Force SEALs, whoever, onto that building in what we would, what they were called anti-terrorist activities, where they could go in, drop in case of hostage situations and free the hostages, and we could get out quickly. So we would routinely practice this in the cover of night around the United States. We were flying very dark helicopters, and many of you in the old days remember the days when people were saying, oh, there's black helicopters flying around here. Well, you were right. There were black helicopters. Well, they weren't black. They were very, very dark green, and you couldn't read the lettering. They were lettered with U.S. Army on them, but you couldn't read it because it was about the same color paint as the aircraft, so you'd almost have to touch it to touch the paint and run your hand along it to see the name of U.S. Army on it. So for me, practicing in the United States, military exercises in the United States is not uncommon. But to the general public, you have not been aware of this. And to be honest with you, the scale of this operation is gigantic. I mean, we were a small helicopter outfit practicing our new mode of flight with night vision goggles and everything else. I can't believe the size of this urban training exercise, or whatever the hell they're calling it, this Jade Helm. We don't practice unless we feel that there is a need for that particular type of military assault. There's no other way to put it. If we feel that there's going to be a need for a particular type of military assault, certainly we will practice, so that we have operational readiness to perform that type of assault. To practice in the United States, the urban training, they actually feel, whoever the headsheds are, they actually feel that there is going to be a need for this type of military assault within the United States of America. And I can tell you that this is something that was discussed in the early 90s during our Jupiter Island meetings. Plans and programs were discussed concerning readiness exercise called Rex 84. What is Rex 84? What was Rex 84? And I would assume still what is. It's a scenario and a drill which was developed by the United States federal government to suspend the United States Constitution, declare martial law, place military commanders in charge of the state and local governments, and detain large numbers of American citizens who are deemed to be national security threats. In the event that the president declares a national state of emergency, the plan states, events causing such a declaration would be widespread U.S. opposition to U.S. military invasion abroad, such as if the United States were to directly invade Central America to combat what the government perceived as subversive activities. The plan also authorized the military to direct ordered movements of civilian populations at state and regional levels. Movements of civilian populations. This is huge. And the exercise is huge. You think that's just coincidental? That they're training the United States military and all forces command to handle such a threat? Or perceived threat? We need to be ready to take these people down, and quickly, no matter what the cost, said Oliver North during one of these meetings. He, after all, was one of the architects of Rex 84. During the Iran-Contra hearings in 1987, there's a recorded dialogue between Congressman Jack Brooks, Oliver North's attorney Brendan Sullivan, and Senator Daniel Inouye, the Democratic chair for the Joint Senate House Committee. Let's listen to this. Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster? Brendan Sullivan, North's counsel, agitatedly said, Mr. Chairman, Senator Daniel Inouye, I believe that question touches upon highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that? Congressman Brooks, I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it. And I wonder if that was an area in which he had worked. I believe that it was, and I wanted to get this confirmation. Oye said, may I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session, and the executive session behind closed doors. Inouye, may I most respectfully request that matter not be touched upon. Exercises similar to Rex 84 have happened in the past and have happened since then and will happen in the future. For example, in 67 to 71, the FBI kept a list of over 100,000 persons to be rounded up as subversives, dubbed the ADEX list. Now, do you not think that there continues to be a list of people that the federal government would love to round up and place in an internment camp, such as, oh, Big Springs, huh? Such as fusion centers around the United States. Many of the closed military installations have been reconstructed to provide fusion centers. These fusion centers in the past, explanations have been given that, they're for illegals. Well, or dissenters. Let me add to that. Or dissenters. Many of these camps, and you can find them around the United States, folks. They're everywhere. We used to fly them. They seem to be closed yet they have high security. They'll have fences around them, they'll have Constantina wire around them, and they'll have police, military police, federal police on high guard. And if you drive up to one of the installations, you can bet you'll be visited very quickly. I mean, it was a pretty simple thing to... It is a pretty simple thing to put great security stuff in place, and with facial IDs and everything else. Look, I drove through, recently drove through Jupiter Island and was called by the head of security there on my phone, my cell phone. Now, I never gave him my cell phone number, yet they called me. And he just wanted to get together again. It had been a long time since he had seen me and wanted to get together for lunch. And I'm probably still going to have lunch with him. He wasn't head of security then. He was just one of the security people. So we have this contingency plan, which was called Rex 84. I understand that that may have been changed since then. Or it may have another name. I think people are talking about one called Agenda 21. I'm not aware of Agenda 21. I am aware of the Rex 84 plans. And I am aware that during Jupiter Island briefings, we were briefed that the U.S. military would have to intervene. And in turn, U.S. citizens, I jumped up and I said, sir, there's no way in the world me as an American fighting man is going to go into that and do that. You know, but if you look back, last week we played a little tape of the Kent State Massacre. 4 dead, 9 wounded, 1 of the 9 paralyzed by the U.S. National Guard. They did fire upon American citizens. They did fire upon dissenters. And they were not thrown in prison for it. It was, they were justified in what they did. And these kids were just out. They weren't causing any problems. They were just out dissenting the Vietnam War. Good God. But during our contingency and planning meetings with the Enterprise, and the discussion of the intention to use U.S. troops, I said, you know, there's no way that's going to happen. And I was told that there is a way that that's going to happen, and it's none of my concern, is the way they put it. You know, sit down, shut up, Tatum. You know, it's none of your concern. But he did go into it a little bit. He said, we're going to train our troops to work in this arena. It's that simple. It takes time, but it'll be done. And if you look at the way they've been trained and retrained since the 90s, we've been thrown into police activities. Our combat operations troops have become international policemen around the world. So they are very adept at working as in policing arenas. They are very good at what they do. Will they ever turn a rifle? Will they ever turn their weapon on a United States citizen? I'll tell you what. If they're told that that United States citizen is a domestic terrorist, and there seem to be things happening in the past that justify the existence of domestic terrorists in the United States, if you know what I mean. There have been several false flags. There have been several real instances, too, but false flags, too, where the definition of a domestic terrorist has been justified in the minds of some. But the military boys are the military boys. They're going to do what their orders come down to do on the whole. There are going to be some dissenters, and they'll end up joining the people in the internment camps. So here's my take on Jade Helm. I'm asked to go on other shows to talk about it. I'm asked to give my opinion. Here's my opinion. Any of you out there that have been asking me to go on a show, take this, tape it, give it what you will, say what you will, but this is my opinion. And it's only my opinion. You know what they say about opinions. Everybody's got one, right? They're like, yeah, you know. Well, my opinion is this. My opinion is this is a training exercise. My experience is we probably will use this exercise. The bad boys will probably use this exercise and pop in a few pot shots in certain areas, do a few things just to test the waters to see how the public reacts to it so that they know what they need to do in the future to avoid problems. I mean, that's what practice is all about, right? So that's my take on it. It's primarily a training exercise. There are bad boy elements, rogue elements within our forces, which will utilize and misutilize this exercise to test the waters for other types of operations that they plan on using against the people in the United States of America and around the world, but primarily the United States of America, trying to ascertain how the reactions will be to this type of situation. Look, the American people are pretty well fed up, but then again, used to abuse of power. We can look, I can refer to our law enforcement side of things, where these men who are hired and paid to protect and serve are pretty trigger happy. Protect, no. Judge, yes. They give immediate judgments and pull the trigger, even on innocent people, even on unarmed people. Look, a woman in a car decides she doesn't want to stay for a traffic stop for whatever reason. She's not armed. She has kids in the back of the car. The policeman pulls out his pistol as she leaves and unloads into the back of the car. What the hell's going on with that? People from other countries look at that and say, holy crap! What's going on in the United States today? Don't those people see what's going on there? Nothing like that ever happens in our country, they say. You know, we talked a little bit about the unrest and attacking Central America. You know, something of that could be going on right now in Central America. We have the Iranian situation, Yemen. We have several areas around the world that could cause unrest. But we have a lot of people, a lot of Latin Americans living here in the United States. And we're looking at things like, I mean, we've always been looking at the countries in Central and South America to try to work over the governments into doing what we want them to do. But most recently, it looks like we're trying to build a case against Venezuela. And what's Venezuela to us? Nothing. Not to the general public. It's nothing. We have a lot of Venezuelans that live here. But, you know, what kind of danger is Venezuela? It's not. But Venezuela has a whole buttload of oil. I mean, that country is floating on oil. And what's oil? Oil's money for these bad boys. And they'll do anything. They'll kill anyone. They'll jail anyone. They'll do whatever they want to do, whatever they need to do, without blinking an eye to get their hands on that oil. Now I'm getting a little off the subject there, so I'll go back. Get back into Jade Helm. Jade Helm, military exercise. Bad boys use it to practice their bad boy deeds. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the phones up for anyone who wants to call in. Make a statement, but please make it brief and stay on subject. So, let's open the phone lines up. And our call-in number is 727-474-0990. I'll say that again for you. Call-in number tonight is 727-474-0990. Please, folks, stay on subject. Subject is Jade Helm, military exercises within the borders of the United States. And before we go farther into that, I wanted to do one more thing. I want to play a little take for you from an interview we did with Major General Bert Stubblebine Who was Bert Stubblebine? He was right-hand man to the deputy director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. People, the DIA are the bad boys. I mean, whenever the CIA wants some real bad boys to do something, some wet workers, they got a Defense Intelligence Agency. And Major General Stubblebine was in the know over there. And after leaving Defense Intelligence Agency, there were several other positions, and he ended up running the U.S. Army Intelligence and Security Command. So here's a man that's in the know. Here's a man that understands what these exercises are all about, and we're going to give a quick minute and a half listen to him.
Thank you very much. Can I make a final comment before you open it up for calls?
Go ahead, General.
States are participating in Jade Helm, which is an exercise to suppress any...
Thank you very much.
Can I make a final comment before you open it up for calls?
Go ahead, General.
States are participating in Jade Helm, which is an exercise to suppress any and all resistance to the martial law that is on its way. Okay? Did you hear what I just said? And all you veterans, I hope you're hearing me, because this is the exercise that precedes, in other words, they were getting ready to make sure that martial law was going to go through and be uninterrupted, and there were special forces or units that were specifically assigned to kill dissenters.
Dissident leaders and dissenters.
Yes. This is a forerunner for Agenda 21. Believe me, I'm talking to you, I'm looking at the intelligence, and I'm telling you the conclusion. I don't normally do that, but let me tell you, you see that, you know what's coming, and you know why. Heads up.
Okay, there you go. Pretty well says it, doesn't it? Well, call in number 727-474-0990. 727-474-0990 if you want to talk about Jade Helm, any thoughts on it. And I'm going to talk about a few more things in the meantime. In the past few weeks, people have seen a little taste of Jade Helm as the streets of Fort Lauderdale in Broward County were blocked off. Aircraft were flying in. If any of you have seen some of the videos, you'll see a Black Hawk and you'll see small aircraft. Those smaller aircraft were 160th Little Birds. I imagine the Black Hawks were 160th aircraft also, practicing their delivery and extrication of personnel. Very, very, very intricate and very difficult flying on our part. To get in and out of these cities, you know, if you look at the cities and the streets, there's a lot of telephone lines. There's a lot of wire hanging. Some streets have the, you know, you have to be careful because your blades, 60-foot width of blades, you know, can mesh with something pretty quick and pretty easy. You come in too hot and heavy and I imagine in the summer it's going to be even hotter with all that cement and all that no breezes back through in those back areas of the big cities. If they're going into the big cities with them, you'll see aircraft popping hard landings and everything else where they get into what's called settling with power. But you did see, if you haven't looked at it, go to YouTube and type in Fort Lauderdale or Broward County helicopter training or military training, and you'll see that they've already started in some areas, and they have been doing this in areas around the United States. I remember one of the missions we took was into Atlantic City. What I loved about these missions, folks, is we got to stay in the best hotels in the world. I mean, we go into Atlantic City, we'd keep our helicopter on the helipad overnight up top, we'd be comped a room, and we'd be given a couple $100s in chips for the night. working for the mafia. It was good while it was good, but you pay for it in the long run, and I've paid dearly. A lot of people ask me, Chip, what exactly have they done to you other than throw you in prison? Well, folks, you know, I lost my family over this. I had to leave my kids here in the United States. I wasn't able to go through helping raise them in fear of what could be done to them to get to me. You don't just walk away. And that's the truth. You know, you see that, you know, you guys see movies. I mean, everyone watches movies. And you see, that stuff's based on something. Those movies are based on something. They're based on what's real. And then they add some Hollywood to it to make it more exciting. You know, I never got to wear a tuxedo as a wandering asset going to all these different places around the world. I never had an Aston Martin to to drive. And some of those fancy weapons they had, they didn't give me those. I had a .45, a Uzi, a Mini Mac, and a Mini Uzi. I used to walk with twin Mini Macs holstered on each side when I'd fly in Honduras and in other areas. Only because, you know, you can't aim well with it, but boy, all those bullets flying keeps those guys' heads down. That's for sure. Okay, folks, it looks like we're coming up on the top of the hour here. So, no call-ins, so I'm going to call it a night here pretty soon. I thank all of you for your time. We are Veterans Truth Radio, and I want to put a plug in here before we go. Veterans of the United States of America, we need to unite. There's 20 million of us. That's a lot of manpower. And we've all been trained. We know what to look for. We understand what's going on. And even though a lot of us are older, you know, look, I'm 63 years old. But I still want to see our country, a salvation of our country. I still want to see it thrive. I have children, I have grandchildren, and I want them to have some of the same things that we were able to experience in life here. But if we have Gestapos with armbands running around the country, it's going to be very, very difficult, for them to enjoy the freedoms that our forefathers had enjoined and fought for. So what do? We have VATVA, V-A-T-V-A. That's Victor Alpha Tango, Victor Alpha. What does that stand for? That stands for Veterans Against the VA and Corruption. Okay, and it's VATVA.org. Please go to the VATVA website, look it over. We can use all the help we can get in organizing VATVA, putting it together, and as a new community of veterans. And now a lot of people say, well, you know, can't you get together with the VFW and the American Legion and all this? Yeah, you could. But those people, it seems like they're just social environments. I mean, all they want to do is get together and sit in the bar and drink and talk of the old war games. They want to live in the past and not live in the future and not move for a life in the future. I'm not ready to live in the past yet, folks, and I hope most of you aren't. I believe that's why you're listening to me. And listen, when I talk about shitheads, when I talk about that, you know, people out there, I'm not talking about you people who are listening, because you're awake. You're looking. I'm talking about the people who sit back on the couch and say, "Oh, Martha, what do you think about that old boy on the radio yesterday?" Well, Henry, I just don't know, you know. I guess there's something there. I just don't know. Yep, Martha, want to do something about it. Okay, Henry, give me one of them Budweisers again, would you, Henry, and pass the snuff. You know, come on, folks. There's a better America here. There's a better America at our fingertips. But what we got to do is we have to get rid of the dead weight that sits in Washington. We have to get them out of there. they got in by hook and crook, I'll tell you that. So we need to get them out using their same methods. We need active methods. Look, those kids in at Kent State, you people in America in the 60s, damn, those were people. Those were activists. They stood up. And even when the shooting went on, they got back up. You know, people thank me when I wear my veteran's hat going shopping or elsewhere. My brother-in-law bought it for me. Freddie was a British submariner. Chippa, if I buy you that hat, would you wear it for me? I know my British accent's terrible, huh? Okay. I said, yeah, Fred, I'll wear it on occasion. And I wear it, and inevitably when I wear it, people come up to me and they say, and they've gone out of the way to walk up to me and say, thank you for your service. And I have to thank them, too. I have to thank them for getting me the hell out of there when I was over there, because if it wasn't for them, I don't know how long our boys would have been over there, and we would have been over there. And look, you know, you look at today, people aren't doing anything really to get our guys out of these areas in the Middle East. We have to do something. We have to go somewhere with it. We have to move at the local level. You need to push your local chamber, push your local county commissioners, push them to push the police and demilitarize the police. Vote in at the local level. Get your governor. Get the right governor in there. A governor has a lot of power. And you people have a lot of power on your local level like that. If you get the right governor in, and you get enough of the, we get enough of the right governors in, we can go a long way. Look, right here in Florida, we have a governor who sued the federal government for the veterans. That's what we need. We need someone with balls. I mean, he got a lot of flack over it, and he's going to continue getting a lot of flack over it, but at least he did something. Folks, you've heard the way it is. This 21 April 2015. And if we don't do something about it, then what you heard tonight is going to be the way it is. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can stand up. You can join in with one another on a local level. Have hosting parties at your home. Invite others over. Have little town hall meetings. You don't have to have government in your town hall meetings. Have town hall meetings and talk about it so that it isn't the way it is. Make it the way you want it. My name's Chip Tatum. Good night.
soldiers and Nixon's coming. We're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drum.